Many of you have heard of syphilis elimination. The national plan to eliminate syphilis was officially launched in 1999. In the first 2 years after the launch of the program, syphilis rates declined in the United States. However, primary and secondary syphilis rates increased slightly each year since 2002. And in response to these increases, the CDC issued an updated national syphilis elimination plan in 2006. This chart shows syphilis elimination funding from 2000 to 2006. In most years, it was about $20 million, and that works out to about 6 or 7 cents per capita in the United States. This map shows the states that were initially funded for syphilis elimination in yellow, and we define a state as an initially funded state if that state or a city in that state received funding in 1998 or 1999. And as you can see, the funding logically goes to where the syphilis is the biggest problem, particularly in the South and in other states. Now, a quick and easy way to examine the impact of funding might be to say, okay, let's look at what syphilis did in these yellow states versus those states that did not get any funding. And if we take this simple approach, we show it in this graph, which shows the annual change in early syphilis rates in those states that were and were not initially funded for syphilis elimination. Now, keep in mind that this shows percentage change from year to year. So the points above that 0% gray line represent increases, and points below that line represent decreases. So relatively speaking, the states not funded showed substantially larger increases in primary and secondary syphilis. And in fact, the initially funded states did not show a notable increase in early syphilis until 2005. Now, of course, this is kind of an apples to oranges comparison because those states that were funded have different syphilis epidemiology than those states that were not initially funded. So to examine this more rigorously, we focused on those states that were initially funded for syphilis elimination to see if the amount of money that they got was correlated with their subsequent changes in syphilis rates. And this flowchart shows the rationale for our analysis. The CDC syphilis elimination funding goes to the states and cities, and they use that money for syphilis elimination activities. And these activities would be expected to reduce the reproductive rate of the disease. For example, programs that increase condom usage could reduce syphilis infectiousness. Screening and treatment and partner notification could reduce the duration of infectiousness, and so on. And this would be expected to show up as decreases in syphilis rates. Now, if all these links do hold true, we would expect that there would be a link between syphilis elimination funding and subsequent changes in syphilis rates. And that's what we do. That's what we examine in this study. So to do so, we focus on the 28 states initially funded for syphilis elimination. We obtained early syphilis rates from CDC surveillance, and we examine years 1997 to 2005. We obtained demographic data from a range of publicly available sources, and the syphilis elimination funding allocations were based on unpublished CDC records. And for the earliest years of syphilis elimination, 1998 and 1999, we had to use records of proposed allocations, which we expect are very close, if not identical, to the actual allocations in those years. We used regression analysis, and the dependent variable was some form of the state's early syphilis rate. In Model 1, the dependent variable was the log of the early syphilis rate, and we used generalized least squares. In Model 2, the dependent variable was the percentage change in the early syphilis rate, and we used weighted least squares. In the models, we controlled for state-level syphilis elimination funding in a given year and the two previous years. We included demographic factors such as percent black and percent 15, aged 15 to 24 years. We included the robbery rate because the robbery rate, like syphilis, is correlated with illegal drug use. And we also included the poverty rate. We controlled for constant state-specific factors that influence syphilis, as well as national trends and factors that influence syphilis rates through the use of state and year dummy variables. Now, this shows the mathematical representation of the model I just described. I won't get into this in detail, but I just want to highlight that what we are most interested in are the coefficients on these funding variables. Specifically, if these are negative, that would indicate that higher amounts of funding are associated with lower syphilis rates or bigger decreases in syphilis rates. And that's what we found. In Model 1, where the dependent variable was the log of the early syphilis rate, the syphilis funding coefficient was negative and significant for total syphilis rates and male syphilis rates. For female syphilis, it was negative, but not quite significant. And in Model 2, where the dependent variable was the percentage change in the early syphilis rate, the syphilis funding coefficient was negative and significant for total male and female syphilis rates. Now, to interpret these in terms of the magnitude of the effect, what these coefficients suggest is that a 10 cents per capita increase in syphilis elimination funding would be expected to reduce total syphilis rates by 15.7%, male syphilis rates by 15.8%, and female syphilis rates by 11.2%. The findings that I presented here were consistent over a range of alternate models and estimation techniques, which in the interest of time I will not present today, but would be happy to share with you later. And we did some additional tests to examine the robustness of our findings and the validity of our models. And these focused on the timing of the association between syphilis funding and reductions in syphilis rate. And we also made use of a tuberculosis example. And I'll explain these additional tests briefly. First, if syphilis elimination funding does influence syphilis rates down the line, we would expect that the cause comes before the effect. And that's why we examined the timing of the association. And we found that funding does predict future syphilis rates. So higher funding now means lower syphilis rates in the future. But when we reverse the model, we found that the same result did not hold, that is, that syphilis rates did not predict future funding levels. So the timing of the association is consistent with a cause and effect. We also analyzed tuberculosis rates, and the reason for this is that TB rates are correlated with syphilis rates at the state level. But it's unlikely that syphilis elimination would have an effect on tuberculosis. So what we do is repeat the analysis, substituting tuberculosis rates in for syphilis rates to see if the model still finds an association. So as I noted earlier, syphilis funding does seem to impact future syphilis rates. So now we substitute tuberculosis rates in the model to see if it still finds this association. And when we did that, the syphilis funding was not associated with TB rates. So in other words, our model predicts that syphilis funding does affect syphilis rates, but it does not make the implausible finding that syphilis funding has an impact on TB rates. So in summary, higher levels of syphilis funding in a given year were associated with decreases in syphilis rates in subsequent years at the state level. And on average, an increase of funding by about 10 cents per capita was associated with 10 to 20% reductions in syphilis. And the results were generally consistent over a range of alternate approaches. Now there are a few limitations with this approach. I know some of you in the back may not be able to see this entire slide, but I can live with that. The analyses such as these cannot prove causality. This just looks at an association. There are the usual limitations associated with surveillance data, such as incomplete reporting. Also, we don't have data on sexual orientation of syphilis cases, so we're unable to directly address the syphilis among MSM versus heterosexual syphilis, apart from just looking at syphilis rates by sex as we did. We had incomplete syphilis elimination funding records. And in order to focus on syphilis elimination funding, we excluded prevention funding from other sources. Our analysis focuses on the state level. And in doing so, that could introduce bias because in a given state, the majority of the syphilis funding and prevention efforts might be focused on one or two cities. And the results are not useful in establishing the impact of specific syphilis elimination activities. We just look at syphilis elimination as a whole. So in conclusion, syphilis elimination funding is correlated with subsequent relative decreases in syphilis rates. And we expect that the recent increases in syphilis might have been much more pronounced in the absence of syphilis elimination efforts. And additional research is needed to assess the impact and cost effectiveness of various syphilis elimination activities. Thank you very much.
We'll take some questions.
In general, yes, that's what.
Sort of a regression to a mean number, the highest people come down and they went up.
Yes, that is an issue, and what we did in order to address that as best we could was just to focus our analysis on those states that were initially funded and just ignore all the other states. So we tried to make the comparison as valid as possible. So the analysis that I presented focused only on the initially funded states. If we did include everyone, all the states, the results were fairly similar. The main reason for this was just to examine if there was this association, because it's really hard to evaluate syphilis elimination. To do a randomized control study, I think, would cost more than what we have the funding for to do syphilis elimination. But I think there are numerous subsequent analyses that can be done, such as what you mentioned. I think that's a good idea. If anybody wants to run with this, they're more than happy to. When we first started it, we thought that if indeed the funding coefficient turned out to be positive, that would be an indication of what you're talking about, that they're actually finding more cases as a result of the funding. So in fact, that would bias us against finding the negative coefficient that we found. I think another way to interpret this is possibly that if you wanted to take the approach that these findings are not believable, is to say, well, maybe the programs are not doing, maybe funding hurts, and that makes them less likely to identify new cases. But I think that's less. Right, and Kevin just made a good point that the short-term effect would be more cases, and we used funding over a three-year average, so it could have that long-term impact in there. Do I have time for more?
Yeah, we'll take one more.
Yes.
I actually have two questions for you. The first one is, you mentioned that there was a high rate of syphilis in the South. Kind of what you talk about that, what you do with the high rate of syphilis. And then the second is, what is the correlation between the robbery of increase of syphilis? I think you guys use that in your study.
I'll start with the second one because I can do a better job of that, I think. There's been an association between illegal drug use and syphilis outbreaks, such as crack cocaine use and whatnot. And we don't have good measures of how much drug use goes on in each state. But researchers have found out that the robbery rate is also very highly correlated with illegal drug use. So what we do is use robbery rate just as a proxy for drug use. So that's the reason we include robbery. And I would probably defer to another syphilis expert, or to a syphilis expert, rather, on the issues of why STD rapes are higher in the South. Maybe Joe Valentine could give the...